The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, SmackDown. Review.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max WWE SmackDown Live review for April 4th, 2017. I am your host, Sean Garmer, and nobody is with me today because, well, we kind of had a thing that seems to happen to us quite a bit sometimes. I was deadly tired from working 9 hours doing I unload trucks at Kmart for the two of the three shifts that I'm guaranteed a week now, and basically a lot of times it shows up late, and then we get to stay later, not just unloading the truck, but having to put stuff in the store and all that kind of stuff. So then I got to I had to make a little grocery run, and by the, when SmackDown was over, I passed out, and I think I woke up around like 1 in the morning. Gary was still awake, so I watched 205 Live, and then I watched Talking Smack, and then my internet went out. And it wouldn't come back on, so I told Gary to just go to sleep. And Paul, I think, had passed out at the same time I did. And so Gary and Paul both have things that they do on Wednesdays. So that's why we don't ever do except for a few, very few rare times where Gary has missed church, where we don't do NXT the Wednesday night after NXT because of that, because both of them have things that they do on Wednesday nights. So I'm going to go ahead and do both SmackDown and 205 Live by myself here. Hopefully I'm not too bad. But, you know, hopefully you'll still want to still, and now I've messed myself up thinking about this, but hopefully you will stick around and want to listen to this here. But, yeah, so here's this is the SmackDown after WrestleMania, of course, and many things, or at least they were looking to try to maximize the similar aspect you get from Raw after WrestleMania with, hey, this is, you're in the same arena, hopefully you got a lot of the same fans, you know, all that kind of stuff, so. You know, as I get through here, they started with Randy Orton coming out because he's the new WWE champion. It seemed like he was getting a lot more boos than cheers. You could hear some of the kids sort of cheering for him in the background, but it was mainly boos. Felt like they were trying to go for the same setup as they did with Roman Reigns on Raw, but you know, obviously the comparison between trying to hate on Randy Orton and hating on Roman Reigns is much different. And that doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to tell that. There was no FU Randy Orton chance at all going on during this. So no worries there. But anyway, we go on to Randy Orton talking about, okay, well, you know, I accomplished my goal pretty much on winning the title from Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt interrupts, and pretty much this leads to the guy that we've sort of been talking about, hey, he's kind of lurking in the background. He's been cleared to wrestle. We haven't seen him, and weird that they didn't introduce him into this feud at all, but they have decided to wait until this SmackDown after Mania for this sort of thing to have Eric Rowan show up with actually a pretty cool looking mask, honestly. It had like this sort of almost if you play like the game Bioshock sort of like this big daddy looking thing. It looked like a sort of like a sea kind of mask with something sticking inside of it, and it had a flesh type color. Pretty cool for Eric Rowan. He takes it off. Obviously, you can tell it's Rowan because he's still wearing the trash bag outfit, which, you know, he's. I think they've gotten that into like where it's like sort of a black color now, so it's not that bad. But hey, Eric Rowan attacks Randy Orton. Then here comes Luke Harper, and you know, you don't need Teddy Long to come out here and tell you what's going to happen, as this winds up being your main event of SmackDown. And honestly, when you look at all the things that happen on this show, I think this probably was the, I'd say, the lower end of the segments, especially the lower end of the matches. I mean, the match itself was, it's your main event. It went about, I think, like 12, 15 minutes. You know, you had Rowan and Harper going at it with each other, which, you know, they played up the whole, they were a tag team before, they know each other kind of thing. You get Orton running wild with the hot tag eventually. He hits that, you know, hitting the DDT. Wyatt hits the thing so that the lights go out, but then Orton still hits the RKO, and Luke Harper and Randy Orton win, beating Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan. Really, the match wasn't really much of anything. It was kind of your by-the-numbers tag match to sort of end the show. But yeah, that's your sort of starting and ending segment of SmackDown, but honestly, this is not what you're going to remember this SmackDown for. They had announced previously before SmackDown that Naomi would be defending her SmackDown Women's title against Alexa Bliss in a singles match. So this becomes the first match of the evening, right after Miz and Maryse kind of have a backstage promo where they say they're going to call out Nikki and John, because it could be the last time that we see Nikki and John on SmackDown. You know, he's talking about that, you know, John Cena has to leave for another movie, but there's also that Superstar Shakeup that was announced on Raw, and perhaps, you never know, John Cena could wind up on Raw again, but we'll have to see. Apparently, what they've said about that is it's not like a redraft or what they've done before, where it's a, like, you get five picks to move from one show to the other. It's sort of like a, I don't know what you would call this, like, you're just doing trades and trying to figure out, you know, if you're going to sign anybody. Perhaps they have to make deals on it if there's a debut from NXT, because there's one guy that there was rumored that did not show up on SmackDown, who we have not seen yet. So perhaps he will show up on the next week's Raw or SmackDown, or perhaps they just decided that he's not going to be brought in at all. Andrade Cien Almas has not been seen, so he was the one rumor that had not come true. But anyway, getting to the SmackDown Women's title match here. Naomi has that bum leg, you know, from the injury previously. So Alexa Bliss really, I like this. Alexa Bliss kind of just going after the knee. She's doing several submissions to it, kind of attacking the knee. Naomi gets pissed eventually and just whacks her with I don't know how many elbows eventually, and then hits a back suplex on her. You know, Alexa Bliss gets a nice DDT in there, but Naomi gets this submission in there after the desperation rear view, and she wins in about 10 minutes. I thought it was actually a pretty good match. Might have been some of the best work we've seen from Alexa Bliss as far as being cohesive, going after her body part, that kind of thing. Naomi looked good here. I like that, you know, she really did a good job of trying to, at most, sell the leg. You know, she'd put her arm behind the leg to kind of really sell the fact that it hurts. Obviously, you're going to have your times where the adrenaline's kicking in. It's not, I've said this before, you don't always have to sell the leg like, you know, shotgun shot went off and you can't use it. That's only in certain extreme circumstances. This was not one of them. Naomi then was on Talking Smack, and, you know, she was happy about still being champion, still, you know, winning at WrestleMania, that kind of thing. She did say that she would really like to face Charlotte if, you know, Charlotte came over to Raw, or she went over to Raw with the SmackDown Women's title. I don't know that with those titles. They would switch the shows because that kind of seems silly now that they've been branded with the colors and everything. But yeah, this is WWE. They do weird things just to do weird things, honestly. But yeah, so moving on here from your, and I think this is the only women's segment on this show, if I'm remembering correctly. So you won't have anything other than when Maryse comes out with Miz later on. But here, so moving on, we get our first big debut of the evening. This is actually, I got home like right around when this match was about to start, so I had to go back and watch the first 30 minutes. But watching this live was pretty cool. Curt Hawkins comes out, and you know he apparently needed to face the facts that he's about to get whooped. And he issues an open challenge. He's going to start a countdown. He gets to 10. And Curt Hawkins doesn't even have to say any more than that because the perfect 10. Ty Dillinger comes out. The crowd goes nuts, chanting 10 everywhere, all the time, constantly, during the match as well, getting involved into everything he's doing. The only thing that kind of hurts Ty now is that unless, you know, AJ is going to stop doing the move, which is possible that he just stops doing the Arushigiroshi, but basically, Ty's tiebreaker is the Arushigiroshi, which AJ uses as a regular move. And now, I mean, we see this happen all the time. You know, everybody uses super kick, but Shawn Michaels, you know, and Dolph was doing the super kick for a while as his finish. It can also depend on sort of, okay, well, the way Ty does it would really knock you out, whereas the way AJ does it, I guess you can make that explanation of it wouldn't, but we'll see if they take it out of AJ's repertoire or not. Usually that's kind of the kind thing that you do when it's somebody's finish. But this match was just a Ty squash just so the fans could have fun. I think it's perfect for him. He gets a win, which he, you know, he hasn't really been able to do much on NXT. And he looks good. And now let's see. He was also on Talking Smack. Of course, the guy's in developmental for, I think, like 12 years. And to finally show up and be on SmackDown Live, and now you're on the main roster. I think he's a great mid-card addition. You know, Baron Corbin might have been a good feud starter for him, have that uber heel for him, but you know, especially because The Miz is taken up by somebody else seemingly now. I wonder, looking at thinking about the roster, I mean, who Ty Dillinger could have his first feud against. He certainly would be in the running for the, you know, IC title, that kind of thing. I guess he could still face Ambrose. I wouldn't have a problem either if they can't really figure anything out for Ty Dillinger. Maybe him and Apollo Crews in a tag team to use both guys would not be bad either, especially because it seems like unless they switch the Revival over to SmackDown, SmackDown's going to keep on with the same teams. You need some kind of influx of freshness there. So, I mean, it's really, again, with the Hardys being on Raw, it seems like the Revival getting switched in the shake-up thing would make a lot of sense, especially since they have so much history with American Alpha and all that. I could totally see that happening. But, again, if you're not going to do that, if you're going to keep a lot of the things the same, trying to come up with actual, you know, tag teams that will work and use guys, I definitely think that, you know, using an Apollo Crews and using a Ty Dillinger together would be great. Gives Apollo somebody to be around that has personality, and you never know. Could work for him, but definitely something we have to wait for till next week is why a lot of these, what happened on Raw and what happens on SmackDown, really the results other than in title matches don't matter because they may not be on that show next week. Well, we'll definitely see. We don't even know how many trades are going to happen, how many things are going to be going off, if they're going to have trades after the show, before the show, you know, during Talking Smack, is there going to be a Raw talk where they announce a trade? I mean, so much stuff can happen, honestly, for that. So, moving things along after the big debut of Ty Dillinger, You get Mojo talking about how much he loves Andre, and then Mojo saying that, hey, he's going to start putting some weight on the things that, you know, he's already done, winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You know, I think Mojo's kind of grown on me. The stuff with Gronk was fun at WrestleMania. Let's see if they really turn this into something for him. I can't say anything other than good on Mojo for coming in and taking advantage of what they're giving him, and not just, oh, well, hey, you know, forget it. We're just going to put him on the back burner, and who cares about Mojo, right? They're actually at least using him and trying to see what they can get out of the guy. I think he can be somebody that you can get behind, and if you keep developing that character for him, letting him be on Talking Smack, you know, speaking his mind, telling his story, I think eventually people are going to really enjoy him. And you never know, honestly. But I think you got to give kudos to the writers on SmackDown and everybody else and say, hey, you know, we're using this guy. We're not letting him just sit around. So that's better than I think you'd ask for, because there's plenty of times where tag teams, one of the guys gets injured and they don't do anything with the other guy at all. Or the other guy just jobs because, oh, well, he can't possibly do anything great without his tag partner. So glad to see SmackDown is not doing that. And we'll have to see where they go with the first feud for the guy and what they do going forward with Mojo. But moving on from here, we get our next big debut. But before then, you have Miz and Maryse getting to do what perhaps might be their final Total Bellas, making fun of John Cena and Nikki Bella. This is hilarious. I've been loving every single time that they do this. Miz and Maryse do the entire entrance for Cena and Nikki. Miz makes fun of his never give up little thing and throws it out in the crowd. And then he gets in the ring and he says, oh, you cannot chant Cena sucks at all while I'm here. And of course they chant John Cena. The ring pop ring that Maryse has on, because that's the only way I can describe it. It's hilariously, like, terrible. You know, Maryse says, oh, because we only think about ourselves. We will be going away to Hollywood for a long time. And Cena leads the crowd, or not Cena, Miz leads the crowd in a No More Cena chant before he's about to leave with Maryse. But by then, a violinist comes out, Lee England Jr., and he starts playing the violin, which, of course, you know, only means one thing. Shinsuke Nakamura has now officially debuted on the main roster. He is SmackDown bound. And he comes out. The crowd goes absolutely nuts. They sing his song. They chant Nakamura very loudly. He does the yow, and then he leaves. And I thought this was great. You don't need to be giving away a Shinsuke Nakamura match on SmackDown. Let's be honest here. This is freaking Shinsuke Nakamura. He is your rock star. Shane McMahon said it himself on Talking Smack. And if he has got endorsements already from, you know, the higher-ups there, I think you know what they're going to be doing with Nakamura here. But great that The Miz is his first feud. I think The Miz will be able to cover for Nakamura not being able to talk as much or as well. We do know that he can talk decently as far as English goes, and I just hope that we get to see some great entertainment, and The Miz can handle himself pretty well in the ring, so him and Nakamura could have some interesting bouts there, and certainly the promos will be fun to watch. He did have a dark match with Dolph, which was sort of your, again, run by the numbers dark match main event. Wasn't anything totally special, but the crowd in the arena did certainly get to see him. So that's cool. They didn't go away with just Nakamura only showing up as an entrance. They got him as far as a match as well, but you didn't have to give that away on SmackDown. You can give that away for the crowd. The big match on this show, aside from the women's title match, was a street fight between Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin. You had they busted out some big There's a table here that they busted out with Ambrose eventually elbowing, doing that, you know, standing elbow to the outside on Corbin, and then he puts Corbin onto the table, and then he does it. They pull out a strap and start hitting each other with straps. Corbin takes a wicked shot with a chair inside the buckle, and he runs face first into it. He gets, you know, whipped in there by Ambrose pretty hard, and he took that chair shot like a champ. You can't really fault him at all for this. Corbin eventually hits end of days, and Baron Corbin beats Dean Ambrose, so I guess this gets him another IC title match. I really enjoyed this match. You know, it went about 11 minutes. This is pretty good. Both guys do well when they have, you know, weapons involved and all that kind of stuff. So we'll definitely have to see. Speaking of weapons, I forgot to mention the big part of the Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt match is that they announced a House of Horrors match that don't know if that's going to happen on the SmackDown or if that's going to be your main event of the next SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view, but interesting, certainly, that they've chosen this match that we don't know what it is. It's very possible it could just be a, I guess what they did with Ambrose and Jericho, they lock them in this cage with stuff hanging down, you know, lethal lockdown type thing. It could be a, you know, who knows, it could be a literal haunted house where they go backstage and they walk through things and they have to, there's weapons there and they can hit each other with stuff. I mean, I would assume that there's some kind of cage involved where they're enclosed, so it's a sort of house of horrors, but we'll have to see if they announce anything special for it or give anything away, but could be interesting for both guys. You know, Wyatt needs his rematch, so they're going to go with that, and I guess that's fine. Possible that Baron Corbin and Dean Ambrose could have a strap match too, because they used the strap so much in that match, But you know, how many times have we seen people use a weapon in a match and nothing really happens out of it, right? It's just, oh, they use that weapon, and they just keep using that weapon, and it's not necessarily that we're gonna have a strap match. Aside from the main event, there's also the Shane McMahon coming out trying to make some kind of sense of the Superstar Shake-Up thing. He doesn't really mention a whole lot about it. He says a lot more on Talking Smack about the fact that there's trades and conversations, negotiations about who can go where and that kind of thing. And then it's basically, you know, he talks about he's going to have something happen, and AJ comes out, talks about how SmackDown is the house that he built. He doesn't want to go anywhere. And he shakes hands with Shane for the match at WrestleMania. He acts like he's going to attack him, and then he laughs, does his pose. The crowd was absolutely nuts for AJ here. You know, you didn't have to have AJ have a match after what he did with Shane, so it was a segment, but it's got kind of a cool idea, and we'll have to see if this is a tease at all for AJ going to Raw, but hopefully not. I'd like to see him, that he stays on SmackDown. But certainly, you know, again, won't know anything until next week for Raw or SmackDown. But that's pretty much your SmackDown for this week. The big things being that Shinsuke and Ty Dillinger both debuted. Ty Dillinger got to look good in his match. You know, Nakamura, we'll have to see when they have his first match. Perhaps next week on SmackDown, or maybe they make you wait till the next six, you know, SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view. Definitely going to be one of those wait-and-see things. Everybody's going to be anticipating that. Baron Corbin getting the win on Ambrose in a pretty good street fight that definitely, 11 minutes, not something that'll totally waste your day if you go watch it. And definitely I would say the same thing for Naomi and Alexa Bliss. 10 minutes, that's worth your time. Good match. You can definitely skip the main event, though. I'd watch the opening segment just to, if you want to hear Bray Wyatt from his own words and see Eric Rowan come back, but I think you can totally skip the main event segment. You'll be all right. But I think I enjoy this just as much as the Raw. Just like Raw, they don't have any matches that are going to wow you and, oh my God, you need to watch the show for that. But I would say a 7 is fair again for SmackDown. You had debuts, made it feel very special just like Raw. You had some good matches, you know, a title match. You had a rematch, you know, two rematches from WrestleMania, which is, you know, something similar to what we usually get after WrestleMania. And you get more fun with The Miz and Maurice, and that leads to Nakamura coming in. So all roads leading to the Superstar Shakeup next week, and who winds up where, I guess, when we're done with this SmackDown, and what we're going to get after that, right? I'm sure with, you know, news being out there and the Observer coming out sometime today, by the time we do the W2M Part 2, which we did not do a Part 1 because we had extended it to Tuesday so we could have our segment about the Superstar Shakeup, with both rosters now having their guys. And, well, we didn't get any of that because, obviously, we didn't get to do that show. But with the W2M Part 2, definitely want to check that out because we'll have our ROH Supercard of Honor 11 review. We will have a New Japan Sakura Genesis preview. That is happening on Sunday morning. Definitely going to want to check that show out. Katsura Shibata and Kazuchika Okada in the main event. That's going to be a fantastic match, plus some other stuff that's on that card that we'll talk about. And of course, don't want to miss my 205 Live review for the week. Don't forget we had a WrestleMania review, an NXT TakeOver Orlando review, and a Raw review from last night where all three of us are on there, so definitely want to check all three of those shows out. And of course, we'll have our Superstar of the Week, we'll have our Match of the Month, and Wrestler of the Month for March. And more stuff, obviously news and everything else. So, of course, you don't want to forget to, if you enjoy what you heard here, hopefully you've enjoyed, you know, what you've heard, some of our other stuff that has, you know, the three of us together that you've enjoyed, hit that subscribe button on iTunes or YouTube. You know, check out our W2 Network channel for all of our podcasts that we do or that our partners do. Subscribe to just WTM Network, or you can subscribe to Wrestling to the Max to get just our wrestling content here. And of course, make sure you visit WTMnet.com, not only for our wonderful podcasts in great little posts, or you can also get written content. We'll have our own little preview for the Superstar Shakeup, some guys getting to predict who they think should wind up where based on, you know, factors. And, of course, we'll have a New Japan Sakura Genesis roundtable like we normally do for those shows up on W2Net.com. So that's wrestling content, of course, you can check out for game reviews, entertainment podcasts, entertainment, song reviews, that kind of thing. Things that we do on the website that are kind of cool. So, well, until, whether you heard this first or second, you know, I'll be doing the 205 Live review. And if not, you know, make sure you check us out Thursday night, Friday morning on The Demand for Wrestling to the Max, episode 241, part 2. Until then, everybody, have a good one.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.